to welcome you to the Boone's Mill Church to our worship service this morning.
The fourth Sunday of Advent, our Christmas Sunday, and we are celebrating under the theme of love.
Want to say welcome to the church family. Those that are here in the sanctuary, we ask that you wear a mask and do social distancing. We welcome those who are in the Sunday school classrooms. We also welcome those who are out in the cars and the drive-in experience. We're just so glad that you've come in this way to join us in our time of worship.
We are in a series of messages that is entitled Christmas Long Ago. And it's a first-person narration or a drama in which I'm in costume. And the message may come sound just a little different than my normal preaching, because there will be pauses and times of rest in which you would actually understand it better if you saw it. But I think you will be able to understand clearly the message, and I thank you for listening, and may God bless you.
Hallelujah! Yahweh, El Shaddai, Jehovah Shalom, Elah, Elah, Adonai, El Elyon, Jehovah Rapha, Elohim, Jehovah Ra. Hallelujah. Yahweh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made. And without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. But the darkness has not understood it. Even as I write these words, my heart is filled with so many emotions, so many thoughts. The Spirit of God has prompted me to write. He is, in fact, leading me. He's causing me to remember, even now, as Jesus promised He would do when He lived here upon the earth. Oh, so much I've learned, and so much I still don't understand. For the longest time, I struggled with one question. And that question was, why would the Word of God, the Son of God, the living God, who is up in heaven in His glory, why would He come down here the way we live? Why would He give up heaven to come to earth? When I was younger and a follower of the Master, I did not fully understand, nor did I appreciate what He was doing, why He was doing it. like so many of the people in our land, I wanted a Messiah to come. I wanted a Messiah who would come and get rid of this Roman government that was suppressing the people and charging all of these extortionary taxes and causing people to be thrown into prison and taking away their rights. Oh yes, I wanted a Messiah to come. I wanted him to come and get rid of this Roman government. And I wanted a Messiah who would come in judgment. Oh yes, he would come, and those who have been oppressed and those who have been mistreated and those who have been thrown in prison, I wanted him to come and call down fire from heaven and burn them and destroy them all. That's what I wanted. I wanted justice. I wanted what was right. I wanted it to be made right. That's what I wanted. I learned this is not what the Messiah had come to do. He didn't come to punish people. He didn't come to destroy people. He came to show us the way. He came to show us how to get into the kingdom of God. He came to show us what it meant to truly follow God. Okay. But why did he come? What compelled him? What compelled him to come out of his glory and come down and to be subjected to the cruel treatment that came to him? He had created the heavens and the earth and the skies and the fish and all that is in the land. Why would he stoop down to become part of the humanity? Why would he do that in human flesh? Only now do I truly understand the reason the Messiah came down at Christmas, because he loved. It was love. He saw you before you were born. He saw you before you were conceived in your mother's womb. And he loves you. And he still loves you. Oh, the memories keep flooding back into my mind now. I remember when Jesus was here with us, the apostles, and what he was... Oh, in case you don't know, I'm the Apostle John. I was with Jesus when he was upon earth and teaching. And I remember all the stories that he told and the things that he did. And it's like it all happened yesterday. I remember there was a man who came to Jesus. His name was Nicodemus. He came secretly at night. He came creeping through. He didn't want anybody to see him, that he was coming to Jesus. You know, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was in the Sanhedrin court. But there was a lot of people in the Sanhedrin court that hated Jesus. And they wanted to get rid of him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to have nothing to do with him. But here came Nicodemus. He came at night, sneaking through the streets, and he came to Jesus. And I remember what Jesus told him while they were talking. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Well, we didn't know what that meant. Nicodemus didn't understand what that meant. What do you mean, born again? How can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? How do you do that? Ah, Jesus said, you tried to get into the kingdom. You tried to do that because what you want to do, you want to obey the Jewish law. you want to obey the teachings. And Jesus said, that's not going to get you into the kingdom. It's not about obeying the law. It's about experiencing a new birth. It's about receiving what God wants you to have. It's about receiving a new experience with God. You get salvation through the grace of God. You must be born again. How about you? Have you been born again? Jesus said that's the only way you can get into heaven. That's the only way you can get into God's kingdom. Is to be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus that the Son of Man must be lifted up like Moses had lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and he would be lifted up. Now, what did that mean? He was not talking about Jesus being born. He wasn't talking about his birth. He said, you must be lifted up. He was talking about dying. He was talking about his death. Huh. Now I understand. Jesus was talking about grace. Jesus was talking about, it's not what you do, it's what he does that gives you eternal life. Jesus exemplified, for God so loved the world, and whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. What incredible love that Jesus had for you and me. Do you have this love in your heart? Have you received it? I recall a trip one time that Jesus made through Samaria at Jacob's well. Jesus was there at the well because it was hot that day and he was thirsty, and we'd been traveling a long ways, and there was a Samaritan woman, a woman who, she had a bad reputation. And everybody knew that. Nobody wanted to be around her. But this woman with this bad reputation came to Jesus, and he said to her, he said, give me a drink. Now, the rest of us disciples, we wouldn't have nothing to do that. We couldn't believe that Jesus would even be talking to a woman like that, that kind of woman. And Jesus later, he said, open your eyes. He said, Jesus said, you need to open your eyes. Everything around you is like a ripe field ready for harvest, and you need to bring in the harvest to God's kingdom. But first, you must open your eyes. I have trouble talking to people like that. People not like me. People that I consider is not worthy. Do you? Do you have trouble talking to people that you consider not worthy? That's a bad thing. And Jesus pointed that out to us over and over and over. Don't treat people that way. Everybody has been created by God. Everybody is loved by God. Everybody needs to hear the good news.
You know what happened after Jesus talked to this woman that we wouldn't have anything to do with? She went out to the village and got all of them to come back and said, I want you to meet somebody that knows all about me and yet he loved me. And they came out, and do you know what happened? Jesus taught them and spoke to them, and many people were brought into the kingdom of God because Jesus loved this despisable, despicable person. Oh, what a wonderful, remarkable thing to see. All because Jesus loved a Samaritan woman and was willing to give her this amazing good news. What an amazing love Jesus had for all people, anybody, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. Jesus loves them, and he goes to them, and he loves them. Of course, his love is not limited to just individuals. I can see so clearly one of the most amazing miracles that we apostles saw when Jesus was here. He went out to this huge crowd of people. There were people following Jesus everywhere. When any time somebody heard that Jesus was close by, they would flock out to hear what he had to say. And so once this crowd gathered, and it was so large because they wanted to hear Jesus, it probably was 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. It was a huge mass gathering. And they came out to hear Jesus. And, you know, we told Jesus, let's get out of here. But Jesus didn't do that. He didn't turn them away. And so Jesus invited them to come and sit down, and he taught them. And he taught them with words of wisdom and life and love and God. What a wonderful time that they had. But after getting through, he told us, the apostles, he said, go feed them. Do you know what that's like? You ever had a big gathering, 5,000 men, women, and children added into that and try to feed them? Jesus ever asked you to do something that was difficult and you thought you couldn't do? I bet he has. Because that's what Jesus does. Jesus doesn't want you to depend on yourself. He wants you to depend on God, who does miracles. And if you try to do it on your own, you'll be saying, I can't do that, and you won't even try. We, the apostles, were having problems with. Imagine that. We were supposed to feed this crowd of people. And all we could find among the people there was this little boy that had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But Jesus had them sit down, and he looked up into heaven, and Jesus prayed. And then he took that bread and that fish, and he began to break it. And as he broke it, God blessed, and there was more, and he broke it and broke it. And everybody there, and they collected up basketfuls of leftovers. That's the God that I'm talking about. A God who gives you that which you don't have and can never have, but he can make it happen. And you can have more than enough. Well, why didn't he turn the crowd away? When we were complaining and we were saying, we can't do this, you know how much trouble it is to do what Jesus asked you to do? Why did he go ahead and he was tired and he called the people to sit down and he fed them and he fed their hearts and he fed their bellies? Do you know why he did that? Because he loved them. That's what Jesus did. Everything that Jesus did was because He loved people.
He loved you.
He loves me. Oh, what a generous love. His love for people got him into a lot of trouble. You know, when people are self-righteous, when they talk about doing good but they don't do it, they're hypocrites. It's those kind of people that came to Jesus once, and they were dragging this woman behind them. And they drug her up to the feet of Jesus, and she was barely clothed. Her eyes were red from crying, and she was couldn't even look up to see Jesus as she laid there. She was so overwhelmed, and she was so full of shame, and she just couldn't believe what was happening. And you know the story? She was caught in adultery. And immediately, they brought her to Jesus for judgment. And they said, Jesus, she has broken the law. And she needs to be punished. And you know, they were right. She did do wrong. And the law said she should be punished. They are right. But the problem is, they didn't care about this woman. And they didn't care about judgment. They were going to see what would Jesus do. Because if Jesus said, oh, don't you do this, don't harm her, then he would be breaking the law and they could arrest him. But if he said, oh, go ahead, stone her to death, which was the punishment for this, then they could say, oh, he says he loves people, but look what he has announced. He has put her to death. You know what Jesus did? As he was hearing all of this, he knelt down and he began to write in the sand. I tried to see what he was writing. I'm not sure what it was, but I think I know. I think he was writing about sins that people commit. And so I think he was writing about the sins of those that were there watching him and telling him to condemn her. And what Jesus stood up and he said, okay, you that have never sinned, you cast the first stone at her. And then Jesus knelt back down and started writing again. And when he looked up, everybody was gone. There was nobody there. And he asked her, he said, isn't there anybody to condemn you? She said, no, sir. And he says, I don't condemn you either. But go and sin no more. Turn your heart to God. Live your life for God. And you will be a changed person. You will be born again. Oh my goodness. Oh. You ever done anything in your life where you need forgiveness? Where you need mercy, where you need grace? I have. Many times. And I'm ashamed. But it's not about me and what I've done. It's about Jesus and what he's done. He can wash away your sins. He can make you pure again. He can let you see the light again. He can make you be born again. And you can have a new life. That's the love of Jesus. All because of love. All because of his gracious love. I received a very personal glimpse of Jesus' heart
about his love, about the kind of person he is when the day we found out that his friend Lazarus had died. We were on our way to Bethany, and we disciples thought we were going there because Lazarus was sick and that Jesus was going there to heal him. But when we got there, we found out that Lazarus was dead and had been dead for, he had been dead for days. And so Martha and Mary ran out to Jesus, and when they met him, they told him, he said, you know, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus answered him and said, Lazarus would live again. Now, most of us didn't understand that. And we didn't understand what it meant, but Jesus went to the graveside, and while he was there, standing at the entrance of the grave, he started to cry. He was weeping uncontrollably. And he was weeping because Lazarus had died. And he prayed. And he looked up to heaven. And then he called out in a loud voice, and Lazarus came back to life, and he walked out of the grave with his grave cloth still wrapped around him. What a glorious miracle. It just touches my heart and chills me even now. What about you? Have you ever been down and out and needed help and didn't know what to do? And you prayed? And God gave you real life to overcome those difficulties and obstacles. You know what I don't understand? If Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus back to life and that everything was going to be okay, if he knew that, then why did he cry at the tomb? He already knew what was going to happen. Why was he weeping at the tomb? You know, I think I know. It's because that's the love Jesus had for Lazarus and Martha and Mary. He knew, but he didn't want to see them suffer. He didn't want to see them going through that pain. And so he wept because he loved them. That's why he was crying. And believe me, even though that he knew Lazarus would live, he wept for them. And there might be here some this morning that God is weeping for you today, because you're dead in your sins. Because you need to have new life. And even if he's going to reach out his arms today and make it possible for you to be born again, for you to be healed, for you to be raised to a new life, maybe you won't let him. Maybe. I pray that won't be the situation. Of course, the greatest testimony of the Master's love was not in his healing, it wasn't in his teaching, it wasn't in his raising people to life, it wasn't in his deliverance of people caught in sin. The greatest testimony of Jesus' love happened outside the gates of the city, in a place called Golgotha. For months, Jesus had been preparing us as we were listening and watching him and talking to him and talking with him. Jesus was telling us that he was going to die, but we didn't understand that. And then finally, one night, Jesus had the Passover meal together with us, and while we were celebrating, he was arrested. And when they took him to the temple court for trial, all of us, including me, we just fell back. We wouldn't follow him. We denied him. We wouldn't help him. And I'm so ashamed of doing that, but that's what I did. We all failed him. We were given a trial of our faith, and we failed him. You ever fail in your faith? You ever had God to ask you to do something, and somehow you ran in fear and wouldn't do what the Spirit said do? I have. Jesus was given a trial, if you want to call it a trial, what they did to him. They did it at night. They did it unfairly. They did it illegally. But you know, the day that they crucified Jesus, I made it to Golgotha that day. And I stood there at the foot of the cross. And I saw Jesus' mother, and she was looking up at Jesus on the cross, and she was weeping. And I went and I put my arms around her, and I tried to comfort her. And she wept bitterly. And as I looked up into the face of Jesus, I finally understood. I finally understood what he was teaching and what he was trying to get across to me. It finally made sense. This was the fulfillment of what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus when he said, you must be born again. This is what he meant when he said that, like Moses lifted the serpent up in the wilderness, that the Son of God needed to be lifted up. Now I understood. The Master was being played out before my eyes. This was God's plan. This is what God meant to happen. I was so overcome. How could such a perfect love, which started at the birth of Jesus at Christmas, how could such a perfect love and one who was given for such perfect reason come and be nailed to a cross and die for you? That's why he was nailed to the cross, because he loved you. And he knew if he died that you could live forever. That was God's plan. Jesus died that horrible day. My faith was tested, but God triumphed. Love triumphed. Jesus rose from the grave after that death. Jesus was alive and he was seen, and I saw him. I saw Jesus alive after he was dead. And I have no doubt that God had sent him at Christmas to die this death at Golgotha so that I might live. So that you might live. That is why love came down at Christmas. So that you might go up eternally with God. Before I go, let me ask you a question. Have you received Jesus, the gift that came at Christmas, the gift that was given at Golgotha, the gift that was given when he was raised from death to life? Have you received him? Don't leave. Don't leave today until you do. And you can right now. Pray with me. Almighty God, dear Lord, you came to us at Christmas with news of your love for us. Jesus has been for our salvation. Oh God, you reached out to give us your gift of love and forgiveness and new life.
And this Christmas, give me a fresh start. I want to live the life that you came to give for me to live. I come to you now, Jesus. I ask you to forgive me. I receive your love that came down at Christmas. Thank you, Lord, for loving me and calling me home. And I pray this prayer in your name. Amen.